Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is Coach Speak. Coming to you today, actually a Coach Speak, not a bad podcast, not a best available draft podcast. We will be getting into a lot more of those in the very near future. But, hey, look, there's something I wanted to talk about with this team that does not relate to the draft. And, you know, I said some things on Twitter, a little tongue-in-cheek, and some joking on various levels. But let's talk about Dax Hill. Look, it is not like the Bengals to give up on a high draft pick very, very quickly, especially after only 1 year of starting. It is not like the Bengals to do that, number one. And number two, I think Dax Hill is taking a lot of heat for what, you know, essentially was his rookie season. It was his first year starting, first year playing a position. He did some really nice things, and then he had some breakdowns. That's how young guys play. You know, like, that's how you play when you first come in, when you learn some new things. So I think we are too quick to not criticize, because that's okay. Like, you know, you can acknowledge the mistakes. We're not trying to, you know, be Sandra Bullock in the canoe here, you know, blindfolded, saying, you know, everything is fine, or, you know, the guy from Eric the Viking, you know, and the whole city was sinking, and he's like, this is, you know, all is well, right? No, we're not going to do that. Eric the Viking, very obscure reference. Shout me out on Twitter if you pick that one up, by the way. But look, he has not been as good as we want him to be, but man, has he shown some flashes. We know we can run. We know we can make plays. He just had some breakdowns. So what does that mean, right? And I've been debating this in my own head. And I think I came to a realization recently, and then it's found out probably that it's not terribly original, because apparently other people are a lot faster than me. But anyway, what are they going to do with him, right? Now, nickel doesn't make any sense. Why? Mike Hilton is the best player in your defensive backfield. I'm sorry, but he is. Like, he's the leader in that group. He's probably the most versatile, like, for, you know, even though he's just a slot, but, like, then he blitzes, then he plays in the run support, he's in the box, he's covering slot receivers. I know he's not great in coverage, but he's a dude, all right? And they utilize the way they utilize him, like, he's a serious dude. Now, he's probably gone in a year because he's getting up there, but he had a great year last year, and he's really the only one who had a really great year last year. So benching him is asinine. Like, you have problems in your secondary, so you're going to take out the best guy? That doesn't make any friggin' sense, right? And putting Dax Hill, like, behind him, now all of a sudden that you got nothing out of Dax in year one. Year two wasn't great. You're going to get nothing out of Dax in year three, and then you're going to expect him to come in year four and be the starting slot? That doesn't make sense. Plus, you're not even going to get to see him do that job before you're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. It doesn't add up, right? It doesn't make sense. It's freaking stupid. And I've been thinking about all the different things that they could do with him, how they're going to plug him in. It's not like they're not going to move on from him. They're not going to trade him for a day three pick. Crazy thought. They're not going to, you know, just let him waste away. Jackson Carmen. They're not going to do that. Or, and, you know, not that he turd in the dumpster, right? Like, that's not Dax. That's not what they're going to do with him. It doesn't make any sense. Like, so how are you going to utilize him? How are we going to make this work? And look, I think the answer is much more simple than I thought than anybody gave me credit for. It's strong safety, right? So we talk about, oh, well, he was in nickel in college. No, he wasn't in nickel. He played the star position. What is the star position? The star position is basically the nickel, but on the other side, all right? And in a lot of defensive looks, nickel, but on the other side, is the strong safety, right? So if you're not playing cover two, the strong safety in general is rocked down, okay? Obviously, you can rock down your free safety too, things like that, but like just for general purposes, the strong safety is generally the guy you want to do that with. So what's the strong safety do? Well, he's in the box, he's on cover receiver sometimes, and because he's on the strong side as opposed to the nickel that's usually on the weak side, because he's on the strong side, sometimes you play man-to-man on tight ends, which is like the job that everybody thought that Dax Hill came here for, which, by the way, doesn't even really exist. Like Trey Flowers did it like three times, and now everybody thinks it's a role in the NFL. It's not, all right? And when they moved on from Trey, they didn't miss that. Like, they were fine without it. So, yeah, so that wasn't going to work. Right? But put him as strong, okay? Well, the problem being, hey, you got Battle. You like Battle. You just drafted Battle in the third round, right? Battle's not a great athlete, though, all right? So now with him and Stone, you're dealing with two guys who are really smart but not great athletes on the same time. You need somebody that's a better athlete out there, all right? And also, we know Dax has a really high ceiling, right? We know, but he's had some mental breakdowns. Well, Battle went out there and he was great in his rookie season. But that's what you expect from really smart guys, right? The guys that you know have, and I'm not calling Dax Hill dumb, right, by any stretch, but we knew that they raved about how he broke down film and how he spent so much time like looking at his own plays, how his interview was incredible, right? Those guys are going to do well in year one because the NFL isn't a huge mental jump to them. But when you're a limited athlete, like we may have seen about as good as Jordan Battle gets because he already had the brains. He's probably not going to get a lot faster. Like that's just the truth of it. Dax Hill can get more quote unquote instinctive, right? Do I hate that word because it's you know, it spits in the face of how hard these guys work at something that we act like it's intrinsic, all right? But it's not. Like, you can get better at those things. You can learn how to process things. You can understand your role a little bit better. You can get more comfortable in it. Well, what's a great way to do that? Have a guy who's really smart next to you. So having Geno Stone, having that veteran in there, making him the free safety, letting him make the calls, all right, get the coverage lined up, that is one thing that Dax Hill doesn't have to think about. And now all of a sudden he has to think, I'm in cover three, this is what I got. If this happened directly this way, if this happened directly that way, right? It's more of an if-then thing than looking at the entire big picture. That just doesn't work for some people, all right? It's going to work, it wouldn't work for Dax, all right? I think he played slow because of it. I think he got it in his head. I think he second-guessed himself with some things, all right? Now you don't have to worry about that. You got Geno. Geno makes the calls. Geno gets you lined up, all right? And Dax is free to be Dax, all right? And guess what he's going to be doing? He's going to be in the box, where he was actually really good, by the way, as a run defender last year. He's going to be rocked down covering slots, where he was fantastic because that is what he does best. He's going to be covering tight ends, but that's not his only job because that doesn't freaking exist, especially now when you're first-round draft pick. That doesn't exist. So he can do those things. Be the box. Cover the slot. Right? And yeah, he'll get in the deep middle third sometimes, and he'll be in the deep half playing cover two sometimes. They're not always playing cover two, though. All right? They don't need two free safeties back there. They never had that anyway, right? So that's my take. All right? They're not going to let Dax waste away. By the way, Dax Hill took more defensive snaps than anybody on the team last year. Like, I mean, we know that Nick Scott wasn't playing well, but if they had questions about both of them, they probably would have played Battle a little bit in that spot too. You know what I mean? Like, they would have mixed in somebody else. They would have got somebody out there. He played more snaps than anyone. It was 99 point something. All right? I don't have the numbers set in front of me, but close enough. It was 99 point something. He took over 1,000 snaps on defense last year. They're not just going to cut this guy back and be like, yeah, you're taking 10, 15 a freaking week. That doesn't make any freaking sense. All right? Jordan Battle beat out Nick Scott for a job by the end of the year. That doesn't mean he beat out Dax Hill, right, for what are essentially like your two starting safeties. That's two damn jobs, right? That didn't mean he beat him out for that. So I think that's what it is, right? I think he's a strong safety. I think Battle's going to, you know, do some stuff here and there. But, you know, he was a third-round pick and a smart guy, a guy they like. Von Bell's not going to do much. Von Bell's a special teamer. All right, and an oh shit guy. Like, maybe he makes a start. Some guys are hurt or something. I honestly think we get too caught up in starters sometimes and things like that. Like, sometimes things are just situational. Like, it might be a battle week. You know what I mean? Like, it might just make sense. He might just be a better fit. I've benched good players in my career because it wasn't their week. Because of the offense we were playing, it just didn't make sense for that guy to be on the field. You know, maybe they weren't a great tackler, but they're really good in coverage or something like that. And we're playing a team that runs the option or something, you know, like there's different reasons for these things. All right. Where they just weren't a great matchup. That's happened especially when I'm coaching younger kids. All right. So, you know, sometimes you have a corner is really good. And then you play a team where there's a, you know, kid that hit a growth spurt, you know, and you're like, well, I can't have this guy playing corner. That guy's 6 foot freaking tall. I gotta get somebody else in there. Right. So like that's an extreme example. Obviously, the NFL is a lot more evenly matched than that. But the matchups are still different. Like, there's still different people you want sometimes. Just like when they play the Ravens sometimes and they run a true 4-3 and they use ADG in there, right? It's the same basic idea, right? So, I'm not saying Bell's not going to be a part of it, but I think Dax is the guy. And I'm hoping that Geno helps him to come out of his shell and, you know, maybe have that experience back there. Which is why, like, you know, saying we're going to start Dax at slots even crazier, because, like, that was a problem last year. They had all this youth, and it just didn't take off. They had all these guys, these young guys that could run, but they weren't. They needed somebody to get them lined up. Like, they needed some leadership back there. Like, all they really had was Mike Hilton in the slot. But other than that, you know, you got corners and safeties who have, what, 2 years of experience between the six guys that were starting? between the four guys that were starting. I was all about the youth movement, but it didn't pan out very well. And I don't think it's that the guys can't do it. I just think maybe it was too much. I like DJ Turner too, by the way. And I think there's a good chance that they go after Sanders Stroll, the freaking current nickel at Michigan, because I think they're going to love that dude. He is perfect for them. He's everything they want. So maybe that guy's the red shirt and replace Hilton in a year guy. I think DJ stays on the outside. I like freaking DJ a lot. I think DJ's good. And Cam Taylor-Britt didn't take the huge jump I was hoping for, but Cam Taylor-Britt, like, got a lot better over the course of his rookie year. DJ Turner had his ups and downs. Like, we know how that goes from the corner position. Like, those guys are going to be the guys. We talk about CB4 a lot. That's been, like, I feel like I misunderstood it when it comes to that on Twitter a little bit, too. Like, yes, it's important, but I think we're interpreting what's really important there. Like, you can find those guys, and the guys you're going to find could get beaten out by people that you don't expect. So when I talk about DJ Ivy as CB4, that's me projecting DJ Ivy as CB4. I'm not saying come into the camp with him, all right? Look, CB4 last year, at this point, was Sidney Jones. And I threw out that name, too, and people were giving me crap about that. But, like, that's what it was. And you know what? He probably would have been fine. Like, Sidney Jones is he probably wouldn't find, right? But that's what I'm saying. I think it's probably a guy like a Sidney Jones, a bargain basement replacement. The kind of, that wasn't really 100% relevant, the replacement, but I went for the rhyme. Anyway, but a bargain basement guy with some experience, you know, who you can kind of trust in there, I think that's the type of guy that you go out and get, and that's the, and you're gonna be fine with that. And that's a guy that I think DJ Turner can beat out if he stays healthy, you know. So the same thing, like if they bring in Sidney Jones, I think, all right, I think you're probably okay with Sidney Jones in that position, but I think you're, there's a good chance that DJ Ivy's gonna beat him up. So we talk about the guys that they're likely to bring in that spot. Like, I don't think they're bringing in Xavier Howard, you know. Like, they're not gonna pay a bunch of money for somebody like that. But like the guys that are out there at corner that you can get and you can get cheap, DJ Ivy might beat him out. So anyway, and you probably don't want another rookie, because then you're throwing in a friggin' rookie with all these other young guys. Like, I know people have talked about drafting a corner. Like, it's a little less than ideal with all that. I realize that Ivy hasn't really played, right? But yeah, maybe some experience in that room could be a good thing. Anyway, I think I'm rambling on. I think this thing's gone a little bit long. But I am passionate about this. I believe I'm ready to give up on Dax Hill. I think both corners are pretty freaking good. I think we have all the ingredients, you know, most of the ingredients, but the cake just doesn't taste good right now. Like, just got to figure out, like, you know, it's just like a dash of cinnamon that it's missing or something, right? It's just these little things that add up that make a difference. And that's what I'm looking forward to right now, is finding that little bit that's going to make a big difference and make an impact on them this year. So, yeah, that's that. I am Matt Minnick. This is Coach Speak. Good night.